It's that time of the week again. We'll talk to Shane Murphy from the Yall Cancer House. Good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
Good afternoon, Eric. I'm great. And yourself?
I'm great, thanks. I'm great. Absolutely fabulous day. So, well, it was this morning anyway. Great to get out in a bit of sunshine and that. And it's very positive effect on people, of course, isn't it, the sunshine?
Well, I think even if you think about, like, Saturday being such a bad day and then yesterday being so...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the amount of people walking around the city yesterday, like, was huge. So I think that people are... For a while, we were taking it for granted that we had a good day every day. Like, but as of late, when we're getting a bad day, we actually the next day just really gives everybody that boost. You know,
it does, of course. Yeah, it does, of course. This week we're going to talk a little bit about understanding and responding to grief, and there's lots of stuff after being written and theorized and described as different stages, tasks, phases, processes, all that kind of stuff. And that's in a normal circumstance or a normal type of grief. But we're kind of grieving a little bit different at the moment, a lot of us, aren't we? Because we can't really grieve the way we should be, or the way we're programmed to grieve, I suppose.
Well, I suppose the biggest thing of our own grief and our own when somebody dies is the tactility. And we've talked more and more these times, like, about the fact that hugging and all that sort of stuff we're not doing. And, you know, funerals aren't normal anymore. Death isn't normal anymore. And people don't really understand and appreciate how important it is when somebody passes away to go to the funeral home and have everyone coming, people that they don't even know, and shaking their hands and actually just sharing that grief.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's only shared with, say, 10 people.
Yes.
And it's so important that the grief is actually shared. And... you know, I mean, it feels great when you see so many people turning up for your loved one who died. And that connection really is gone. And we're a year into it now at this stage. And, you know, just even today now, I just drove past the funeral and, you know, loads of people are lying down the streets and all that. And mm-hmm. It gives some people that little bit of a boost that there is. And I wonder, are we kind of getting to the stage now that we're accepting these smaller funerals, and we're probably changing and adapting as well to it?
Well, we are. I think we are, because I mean, there's one thing we do well, and that is grieve and well, do funeral processes and all that. And you know, as a culture, we do it quite well. And you know, in normal circumstances, of course, where we, as you say, we can go to the funeral homes, or the houses, and the visiting. There's you know, the talk, the drinking, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes with a funeral. But as I said, that's all gone on. You said there's only a handful of people. But what people are doing now, they're kind of lining the streets, which is something, I suppose. But it's still very hard, because you know, you've probably spoken to a few people, like I've spoken to a few people that have lost siblings or parents in the last even weeks. Even that I have spoken to people, and they found it extremely difficult that they couldn't go through that process properly as a family. And with their friends and everything like that, so it was very, very difficult for them.
Well, yeah, and regardless of what happens, like, I mean, grief goes through five stages. That denial, so that's the first stage where you're denying that it actually happened and that it's gone. Then you have anger, and anger, I mean, obviously these days and age, anger is towards COVID, anger is towards you know, what
blame, basically.
And then there's anger directly at the person for dying, you know.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that doesn't sound rational, but it does happen. You do go through it. And then there's the bargaining, and that's where you're bargaining for kind of their life, and bargaining for why did this person get taken from me, and could I have done this different, this have had different. And then unfortunately you get to depression, which is a deep sense of sadness, and then acceptance. And there are the five stages that we go through. And obviously during COVID, you know, the connectivity that's there is gone. And when you dip into the depression, sometimes it's a lot harder to come out, and it takes an awful lot longer to come out. I do notice more and more people, even working in the Cancer Support Centre and with my private clients, that people are really, the longevity of the grief is really lasting.
And is that because, I suppose, they don't have those people calling and regaling some of those stories of past with the person that passed away or something like that, or I would imagine that has a lot to do with it anyway, doesn't it?
A huge aspect of it, like, you know, you don't have people, like, I mean, you know that people would be calling to the door, mm-hmm. and be dropping in, and they'd be dropping yeah. in cakes and dropping in food, and all that is gone, and people are nervous, they don't know what to do, they don't understand that they can, you know, they can't do that, and even, never mind the people that are actually grieving, there's the people that want to support them as well, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They're struggling as well.
Yes.
You want to reach out to your neighbour, you want to reach out to your best friend who died, you know, I mean, even one of my clients was saying to me before, like, and, you know, they lost a loved one, and about 3-4 months later, you know, someone came up to them in the street and said, you know, how's John getting on? And they didn't even know he died.
Because, yeah.
You know, when someone dies in a community, everyone knows. But when someone dies in a community in COVID, nobody knows. So
yeah.
That's adding to the grief. That's adding to it. And, you know, people, I remember people at the start, of the, you know, saying, you know, oh, we'll have the monthly mass, and we'll have the 3-month mass and all those stages, and we'll, you know, we'll
yes.
part. That's gone as well. Like, you know, I know people that have lost loved ones, and now they're a year in. They can't even have the year mass. You know, and
yeah.
You know, all that, all those things that we kind of took for granted, that they were part of it, is gone. And I genuinely think that an awful lot of people are grieving really, really long at the moment, and they really don't know how to pull themselves out of it. And that's why I really wanted to talk about this today.
So, So Shane, the big question is, so, like, how do you pull yourself out of it? Or how do we change or adapt to what is happening?
Well, just don't be afraid to reach out. We have phone, we have Zoom, you know, we're adapting to technology. You know, I hear, you know, people in their 70s and they're doing Zooming and all that stuff. So we're learning, we're adapting. So just because the old-fashioned ways of actually connecting to people is gone, even a telephone call or even a Zoom call or a WhatsApp call or anything like that, it helps an awful lot, because there is that connection. There is that seeing the other person on the other end of the phone, hearing the other person. And, yeah, we're not calling in to tell the stories, but we can ring people. We can connect that way. Really, don't be afraid to connect in whatever way you can, whatever means you can. Don't be afraid that you're upsetting the other person on the other. They want you. They need you to reach out. And especially people like who are on their own, who've, you know, lost a partner and they don't have any children around them or anything like that. Those people that are so isolated and so lonely, and it's the loneliness that's affecting people.
Yeah.
It's the loneliness. And I mean, you know, you have people who are losing someone who was their husband or their wife for 40 years, and to suddenly have that, I mean, one of my clients used to describe the quietness in the house.
Yes.
That actually nobody spoke. You know, you get up in the morning, you put on the radio, but that's not the same. You know, I mean, you know, when you're feeling, you know, I talked about it a few times about how you get rid of, how you help your emotions and your feelings, and it's to talk about it and to vent it. But you've no one to talk to and vent it about. You know, I mean, you know, one of my clients said to me before, like, you know, he used to annoy the hell out of me, but I mean, at least I would be able to talk to him when I'd have a cup of tea with him or something like that. So that silence, you know, that silence really, you don't realize it. Like, even, you know, televisions or radios don't change that silence. So, you know, even though we are disconnected physically, we need to start connecting through whatever way we can. You know, I mean, even, you know, calling to the door and standing 2 meters back, you know, outside the driveway. I've heard of people who've just, you know, driven up and actually just talked through the thing. Anything at all we can do. Like, I just worry that we're all getting so kind of, you know, our feelings around not being able to connect with people, you know, because the old-fashioned way is gone, we're kind of lost and we don't know what to do. So there are ways, you know what I mean? You know, generally.
No, and I'd agree with you, because there was a good friend of mine there. He lost his brother very recently. And like that, just a simple phone calls, he found, you know, because, look, obviously, as I said, look, we can't do what we normally do, so. But to just to get on the phone and have a chat with him and talk to him and for someone even to talk to someone outside the family that was away from it and you know, just to go through that process as well and what happened and try and when you're talking to those people as well, like, they're opening up, because by talking about it like that, they're beginning to understand the whys, why did it happen, or going through those phases that you spoke about earlier on, by just simply talking to someone, and that is of vital importance, as you said, because, you know, if we're afraid to contact them, or we're afraid to talk to them, or afraid to visit them, they're not, that process won't, I suppose, play out properly.
Well, I mean, you have to go through those five stages. It's as simple as that. That is the stages of grief, you know what I mean? It's documented everywhere, no matter what you want to read. Any of the books that I've done in training, everything talks about the five stages of grief. So you have to go through them. But if you get stuck in one of them,
yeah,
it's very hard to come through. And I suppose one of the other things I'd like to mention is the fact that, you know, people worry about burdening other people. So if they're going through grief, they don't want to reach out because they don't want to burden them with how they're feeling.
Yes, yes.
That are going on for them. And that is one of the biggest challenges, you know. And I've said it to, you know, clients and stuff in the past, you know, they've said to me, oh, I don't want to tell them. Like, I don't want to tell them what's going on for me. I'll only burden them. They have enough things going on in their lives. I'll only burden them. So even, as you just said there, if a kind of a stranger reaches out and actually says, you know, how are you getting on, Mary? Or how are you getting on, John? How's life? And, you know, and again, what I've talked about in the past, be honest about your feelings. I'm really missing John. You know, he was a great man. He was a brilliant man. You know, he was such a powerful person. You know, you must be upset. You know, is there anything you want to talk about? And talk about your feelings. Talk about your emotions. And that is so important, that connection. I'm learning as a psychotherapist that we can connect through the airwaves. We can connect in feelings and emotions in ways that I never thought I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we have to adapt to. You know, I mean, we're still looking at the end of this year before things will
come
back to somebody.
Definitely, yeah.
Regardless of what they announce tomorrow, like the new plan and stuff like that. Like, I mean, we're still looking at another longevity of this coming forward. So we really need to start learning and adapting. And yes, people lining the streets gives that sense, and, you know, people can see other people. But then you're lining the streets and you're all wearing masks. And, you know, there's that disconnect again there. So words are so important. Just ringing someone up and saying, how are you? How are you getting on?
Yeah.
Anything I can do to support you? You know, is there anything you need? You know, can I drop anything off the door? Like, I mean, just because you can't, like in the past, drop off apple tarts and drop off casseroles at people's houses, you still drop it at the door. Walk away.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
We're forgetting that, yeah, we don't have the physical part, but who's to say we can't drop something off at the door, get into the car and ring them and say, I left that outside the door, do you want to come out and actually just at least eye contact?
But and as you say, Shane, like, a lot of people are actually afraid to do that because they're afraid of, you know, right, there's a lot of people getting caught for the 5K thing at the moment, like, but I'm sure, you know, like, there's still ways about all these things.
Look, regardless of the 5K, and because I travel up from the city and down, the guards are very, very good. And if you say to the guards, I'm visiting a friend who's lost somebody, they will go, carry on.
Well, they will, to be fair to them. Like, I mean, like, you know, whatever they say about the Gardaí like that, and like, I've been stopped numerous times as well, and I've never had an issue with them. I was just explaining, right, I was just explaining my business, and once you give them a plausible answer, I think that's fair enough, and I don't think anyone's going to stop you from visiting someone like that, as you say, that's going through a bereavement. I don't think that's not an excuse, really. But I'm just saying, like, that people are afraid of moving. They're afraid of moving around. Especially older people, there is that fear out there because they're being bombarded with this on the news. And, you know, the older people, they'll watch the news and they'll take that as gospel and that's it. And they're afraid to deviate either side of that. So, but it's they must realise too, you know, it is important to reach out to old friends or old acquaintances if they've lost someone or anything like that. Reach out in some form or another.
Well, as I say, it's no problem. I understand that that people don't want to move outside their 5 kilometres, but again, just get on the phone.
Yeah.
Ring somebody if you hear about it. And bear in mind as well, people do worry that, you know, they hear about it 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later or a month later and they go, oh, too much time has passed. You know, people, just the fact that when you hear about it, reach out. Reach out to somebody, ring them and ask them, is there anything I can do? And as well, commiserate with them, talk to them about the person, tell them stories about the person, and just try and make it very real for the person. Because you might say to yourself, oh, they've probably heard from loads of people. but you don't know that.
Yeah.
So just reach out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From anyone. I mean, if we all think, what if they've heard, you know, from loads of other people, no one will ring them. You know?
Yeah.
That's the next activity that has been missing. We're learning, we're adapting, and in that adaption, we should go back to our roots of that connecting, that old-fashioned connecting way of actually reaching out and caring for the people around you and actually just helping them get through this, which is a horrible time. Grief is just so horrible. And I mean, that's grief around death. Like, the other grief that people don't seem to realise that we have as well is the grief of this loss of what we're, our identity that we've lost in the last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's grief around that as well. Like, so, I mean, you still go through grief around loss of that, loss of people's businesses, loss of people's livelihood, you know?
Yeah.
There's lots of things around grief. It's not just around losing a loved one. There's grief of a completely different society that we're living in now. It's grief of not being able to go to, I was talking to someone this morning, they said, oh, geez, I haven't seen a beach in a year and a half. You know?
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's things that we don't even think about, you know? You know, you're living down by Yall, you see the beach all the time, you're probably grieving the inland.
No, we'll settle for the beach any day of the week. But there was a lovely piece there, and a lovely little saying there in the piece that you gave me there, and I suppose it kind of sums it up really. And it says, grief may feel like a rogue wave that rises from one day or even one moment to the next, but together you can help each other ride out the wave and sail to a calmer sea. Which sums it up really. It's all about being together. We still can be together throughout all of this.
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah.
What I was just saying.
Okay, Shane. That's all we've got time for this week. Thank you very much indeed. And just to let you know, and our listeners know that this program, if you missed any of it or you want to rehear it again, it's repeated every Thursday from at 9:30 a.m. So I was just told to mention that as well by the gang outside, so it does repeat that again if you miss some or any part of the interview as well. So Shane, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Thank